Our epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bend my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to accomplish all things in a manner far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have a donkey or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those who were to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first place at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far as the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we have a few different things for our consideration today. I think it's important to highlight them. The first thing that I would like to highlight and to comment on is our anniversary we celebrated yesterday of that horrible event, of that attack on our mainland, and how so many people lost their lives, and many of them in an instant. Kind of reminds us of our obligation as a Catholic to pray for the good of our country, to pray for the good of the citizens of our country, and to pray that our country becomes more God-fearing. It also is a good reminder to us that there are so many people who die each day and nobody prays for them throughout the world. Our Lady of Fatima says, "So many souls go to hell because there is no one to sacrifice and to pray for them. But we can. And we can do it each day, every day, make it a habit, and we can start today." And that brings up the second point. Today is the feast of the Holy Name of Mary, a name we call upon for special graces. We ask her to intercede for us now and at the hour of our death. And as we're taught by the great saints of the church, that there's no greater way to our Lord than through her, to Jesus, through Mary. Let us check our devotion to our Blessed Mother, and if we need to perfect it, do so. especially when we are begging for the help that we stand in need of as individuals, as families, as a country, for the world. Today, we have our Lord in the Gospel talking about asking the lawyers and Pharisees about the lawfulness of curing on Sunday or on the Sabbath. And he's doing this to test them because he knows that they have always promoted the letter of the law and have really done a disservice to the spirit of the law. And I think it would be a really good time for us here to talk about the commandments of the church and our obligation where it concerns them. First thing to understand about the commandments of the church: the commandments of the church are there for us to make sure that we adhere to the commands of God, that we fulfill the requirements that we owe to God. We have already talked about fasting and abstinence, and this is the law of the church. How does this promote where it concerns our relationship with God? Well, in Scripture it says, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. Actually, this Wednesday, the gospel is about an exorcism that takes place. This young man has been troubled by the devil ever since his youth. And the father of the young man goes up to our Lord and says, please, please, if you can help him, please help him. And our Lord kind of rebukes him and says, if you see signs and wonders, only if you see signs and wonders. And he pulls the father off to the side and questions him about how long has this taken place. And the father explains the details. And then our Lord tells him, all things are possible to those who believe. And the man makes a prayer that I think is a good prayer for all of us. Falling down on our Lord's feet, he says, I believe, help my unbelief. And the man, and our Lord rebukes the devil, and the devil leaves the poor young man. And after he revives the boy, he gives him back to his father. Now, this was a young man that the apostles were trying to perform an exorcism on, and they were not successful. And so they came up to our Lord afterwards, and they said, we tried to exorcise the devil out of this man. Why couldn't we do it? He gave us the power to do exorcisms. Why couldn't we do it? And our Lord answers and says, some demons can only be done away with by prayer and sacrifice. Make no mistake about it. The devil's having his hour at this time. He's having a heyday. You see it all around in the world. Those who don't see don't want to see. It's important for us to acknowledge, but it's also important for us to combat, because we can combat it. Because we have been empowered by Christ himself. But in order to combat it properly, we need to have humility. We need to understand that God is more important than we are as individuals. In this day and age in which we live in, it's all about me. I feel, I want, I think. And we sacrifice the light of God and it's shining in the world. Remember what Christ says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. We have been given sanctifying grace that's supposed to shine out. But it's the fool who thinks just because they go to church on Sunday for an hour that they're able to shine and dispel the darkness that's out in the world. And that gives rise to the other commandment of the church we want to talk about, and that is keeping holy the Lord's day. It doesn't say to make an hour of the Lord's day holy. It says to make holy the Lord's day. It doesn't mean that we can't have our proper recreation, but it means that we promote God more sincerely on Sunday. Not just going to Mass, but we can start off with going to Mass, preparing going to Mass, and then taking it back and making sure that we as a family unit are making our homes holier on Sunday than we do every other day. The church law is go to Mass on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. The divine law is to make holy the Lord's day. It's a divine law. There are reasons that excuse us from going to church on Sunday. Perhaps we're away, we're sick, whatever. But the divine law can never be excused. Also, the divine law where it concerns marriage. People think in this day and age that they can do whatever they want where it concerns marriage. No, Christ says it very specifically. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It's a divine law. The laws of the church, to abide by the laws of the church concerning marriage, are there to promote the divine law. And anybody who tries to trump the divine law are fooling themselves. And of course, going to confession and going to confession at least once a year, going to communion during the Easter time. Those are the minimal that a man needs in order to save his soul. Christ says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life within you. These are important things. Your Holy Mother of the Church makes these rules out in order so that we will find ourselves just in the eyes of God, contributing to the support of the church. In the Old Testament, it was 10%. In New Testament, it's up to you. Some people, well, I can't give this or I can't give that. You know what? God knows what you can give and what you cannot give. And for some people, maybe they can't give monetarily, but you could always give on account of your prayers and sacrifices. Our parish would be better if each individual in the parish would pray for their parish and the parishioners. It's not a club you belong to. No, this is part of the mystical body of Christ. And when one member is affected, all the members are affected. And when we can affect one member in a positive way, we affect all the members. And we please God. It leads up to the final thought to talk about, and that's humility. Humility is the foundation of all the virtues. What is humility? In one word, humility is truth. Who I am and who God is. I am a creature. He is the creator. Who I am and who Christ is. I am a sinner. He is my redeemer. Who I am and who the Holy Spirit is. I have a soul. He is the soul of my soul. He's the life principle of my life principle. He is my ticket to heaven. Humility is truth. And truth is God. It is important that each individual, my dear friends in Christ, we get this notion and we take it seriously and we start living it. Easy to say the things that we say we believe. It's another thing to live them. It's easy to fool our fellow man. And they might think, oh, that person's pretty holy or this person's pretty holy. But it's not easy to fool God. God is not fooled. Remember what it says last Sunday? Don't be fooled. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, he will reap. So let us sow in our relationship with God and make it true. And in our love for God and perfect it each day. And then we will have the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.